I have lost my cat, and in looking for him, I have seen things. And I will tell you of these things, as a testament and as a warning. The Lost Cat Podcast by A.P. Clarke. Episode 1, The House of Lost Cats. I haven't had to fight him for our favorite place on the couch. I haven't had to bat his nose as he wakes me up by eating my hair. I haven't had to tread carefully when walking through the dark house at night for fear of stepping on his tail. And I have, for over a week now, not been clawed as I try to give him his dinner. I miss him, terribly, and he is somewhere, out there, right now. Honestly, this is typical of him. Now, let us start at the beginning. Just over a week ago now, he did not come in for his morning feed, and myself and my housemates have not seen him since. I put down wet food, I put down milk, I put down cream, and I put down bacon. I even made those smooching noises my cat likes, opening the back door and leaning out, at least as much as I dared. But he did not come back, and I knew if I was going to find him, I would have to follow him out there into the world. And dear listener, I did go outside. I did it for my cat. And the doctors say they might be able to save at least some of my toes. But I get ahead of myself. I drew up posters, I gathered sticking tape, drawing pins, and what small arms I thought necessary, and readied myself to leave. And on the other side of the door, it turned out the air was not too bad that day. The great shadow was thin and unfocused, and the roaring was obviously coming from the far side of the lake. So, hurrying as fast as I could, I put up posters. I put them up on every lamppost and tree in my neighborhood, trying to find space amongst the dozens of other lost cat posters I found there, some wrinkled and fraying from time. And where? And then I rushed home, happy to have made it back safe. And it only took 2 hours, and then the first message appeared. An email came to me from an address I did not recognize, nor could trace back through history or IP. It read, simply, "We know where your cat is." Okay, I thought. Are they threatening me? Am I just reading portentous doom into those words? I do have a tendency to do that. But, "We know where your cat is," was all the email said. So I responded, "Where is my cat?" 5 minutes of waiting passed, where I finished most of a glass of wine in worry. And then the next email arrived. "Do you really want to know where your cat is?" Yes, I replied. "Are you sure?" Oh, come on, I thought, and I wrote, "Who are you?" "We are people who know where your cat is, and this is why we hesitate. If we tell you where your cat is, you will have to go there, and you may not come back. So again, are you sure?" And I replied, "Sure." "There is a place where lost cats go. In every town and borough there is a place where the lost cats go. And there is such a place not far from you." Many have gone looking for this place of lost cats, and some, we have heard, have found it. But only one has ever returned, and they have never spoken of what they have found there. And I wrote, "You are milking this." And they wrote, "Was that a pun?" "Not deliberately," I replied. "We know where the lost cats are, and this place is most likely where your cat is. We can help you find the place of lost cats. But if you enter that place, we do not know what will happen. We do not know if they will let you leave. That is up to you." And they left three lines empty here, presumably for emphasis. "Do you still want to know?" And I finished the glass of wine and replied, "Yes." And they made me wait for five further agonizing minutes, and then this email arrived. "Tolbrook Crescent, a house behind the houses, hidden only from those who are searching for it, hidden by the sea on the dry land." Tolbrook Crescent was a road only three streets away from mine, up the hill, just to the left of the lightning tree. I knew it well. But equally I knew, just as they had written, that I had to see for myself. I had lost my cat, and I resolved to find him. But it was late. The only thing to fear more than the shadows at night are the lights that cause them. I would be of no use to my cat, lost too. Plus, well, there was still half a bottle left, so I resolved to go in the morning. I closed my computer, turned down the lights, put on some music, and poured myself another glass of wine. But for the lies I have told and the debts I have owed, I walk that midnight regret and no blame, nothing to my name, to the crossroads I came. I lit a fire in an old busted tire, and I summoned the devil down. And he pulled out his knife, and I pulled out my gun, and I shot the devil. To the crossroads tonight. Oh, Joe, don't you know what the devil knows? And he fell to the ground without any sound, lay there in the dark. And I took life, then I took his knife and I cut out his heart. And I sat and I cried through his bones in the fire, and they burned like gold. I cooked his heart in the flames and finished the game, and I ate the devil's soul. Crossroads tonight. Oh, Jordan.
by a figure in white. She said, no more tears, you have nothing to fear from the light or from the night. We made love on the ground and the sky whirled around, and she left without a sound and with nothing to hide. And God on my side, I decided to stay a while. No, Joe, don't you go down to the crossroads tonight. Oh, Joe, don't you know what the devil knows, what the
So the next day, waking up surprisingly clear-headed, which I took to be a good omen, I wrapped myself up with as much protection as I had, picked up only enough weapons as I felt I could safely run with, and left the house before midday, which I'm sure you can agree showed my dedication. Head bowed and hands concealed for ready deployment, I left my home and headed out into the street. The incline of the street let me navigate without raising my head, so saving me from contamination and letting me pass the stone village without fear. And after that, the darkness of the day held no danger as I could mark my way by the clockwork strikes upon the lightning tree. And there, thankfully where I remembered it to be, was Tolbrook Crescent, winding round the steeple green. And true enough to the email, I walked along the entire road twice and did not see any house behind the houses. And so I stopped at the lightning tree, turned around, and tried again, this time only looking at the pavement in front of me. And there, about halfway along, just past the backwards shop, I could see out of the corner of my eye that there was a gap in the houses and a building behind them. It was hazy and difficult to see, as if covered in dust. On walking through the gate, I found that this was because it was covered in dust, a cloud of it hanging in the air. My filter was fresh this week, so I felt I would be fine, and I approached the house. And the dust vibrated in the air, as if moved by invisible waves, distorting everything around it and obscuring everything behind it. I walked up to the door and knocked three times, and everything came into crystal focus as the dust came to a complete stop. It was the noise you do not notice until it is suddenly gone, and I was made aware of the complete lack of noise. And the door remained shut. I could see now nails through the panels and planks up against the frosted glass. It had been blocked up from the inside. And so, I walked round the back, and I found a window open behind a bramble bush. I climbed through and found myself in a cellar, and I took the creaking wooden stairs up to the kitchen. And the house was a sea. The emails were right. Everywhere in the house, on every surface and in every gap, hanging from the curtains and I am sure lining the ceiling, were cats. Three deep and all gently sleeping or sliding past each other, one could not see the floor. The house was a sea of cats. And they were looking at me, silently, so I did not move. After what seemed like an age, 1,000 cat eyes blinked lazily, then turned away, and the purring too low to really hear, began again. And the purring made my eyes vibrate, and as a result, the world became wrapped in muslin, and only mostly there. The air had currents, as drifts of air gently pushed the suspended cat hairs gently through the rooms. Now the house smelled of cat, there was no doubt, but it did not smell bad. The cats were clean and treated the rooms with respect. Everywhere was warm. And it was then that I saw there was a man sitting on the couch. He was quite invisible because of the cats. The cats parted and he rose, looking like a shadow to me from across the room. "Hello," he said. "This is my house." "Hello," I said. "I am looking for my cat." I believe he smiled at me then and told me the story of the cats. He said they had started coming into his house around 3 months after he had separated from his wife. They had come in one at a time, but they had just kept coming. He blocked the doors, but they found their way in through the basement and the attic. He made it cold, but they snuggled up to him. He removed all the food from the house, and they brought in so much from the outside that he started to eat the squirrels too. He brought a huge dog in, closed the door, and waited 3 hours. No sign of the dog was ever found when he returned. If he tried to leave the room, he said, they would get angry. He said, they needed him. "Do you know the cats well?" I asked. "Do you know if one has turned up in the last week? It could be mine." "The cats are who they are," he said. "That isn't very helpful," I said. He said, "They are cats." I couldn't explore the house, as the floor was all cat. I simply could not move. "Try calling it," he suggested. "Will that work?" I asked. "I don't know. Does it?" So I looked at the roiling sea of cats, blurry through the purr haze, and tried to call my cat. I made the smooching noise that it likes, and everything went silent. The purring stopped in a heartbeat, and 1,000 cat eyes turned to me and narrowed. Well, there's no point doing anything by halves, and I made the smooching noise again, and the tide turned and moved towards me. I tried stepping back, but the wave was coming from all sides. From the kitchen they came, from the sofa they leapt upon me, the ceiling opened up and a tide fell upon me. My body was heavy from cats. And the man said, "Don't fight them. They don't like that." So I went down, and they covered me. I lay flat on the floorboards, covered in a sea of cats. They opened up my hands and nosed up my sleeves. They opened up my eyes and licked my eyeballs. They looked in every pocket and undid every button, all silent and all intent, with only the sound of sniffing and the dab, dab, dab of thousands of paws. Well, this is actually a comforting sound for cat owners, as it means their claws are currently retracted. And they congregated, of all places, on my right foot. Perhaps one of my socks had been struck by some stray bacon. Perhaps a mouse had hidden it. They took my shoe. The noises turned to tack, tack, tack as they unpicked the threads of my socks and began to gnaw at my foot. I lay still on the floorboards, knowing better than to scream. I tried not to breathe. Without the filters, perhaps the cloud of hair would get in my throat and make me cough. I did not need a house full of panicked cats. So, I did not make a sound, and I listened to their wet chewing noises and the sound of their teeth on my bone. They ate my foot until whatever they had wanted there was gone. And then, The sea parted, and I could see the ceiling again. The cats left me. The waves subsided, and slowly, one by one, the purring began again. And not one of them had been my cat. He was not there. I had not found him. I stood stumblingly, needing to lean on the wall because I could not put weight upon the bloody mess of my right foot. I whispered to the man, "Come with me." And he whispered, "Why would I leave?" And then he disappeared beneath the purring avalanche of fur. So I left the way I came, not even trying to find any of my things, for they were the possessions of the cats now. I grabbed a branch to use as a crutch. I took a breath and ran, as best I could, home. The remains of my right foot, I swear, caught on every edge of every cracked paving stone. And without the hood, I could not hide my face, and I could see the slithering around the stone village as I rushed past. And without the filter, I could taste what was in the air that day. But the only solution was to press on, hobbling and exhausted. And I made it to my house at last, locked the doors, and collapsed onto the floor. A housemate passed me a cup of tea, and I was safe. But I had not found my cat, and I knew that I had left a trail of blood out there, leading all the way from the House of Lost Cats right to my door. But that is a story for another time. This has been episode 1 of the Lost Cat Podcast, written and performed by A.P. Clark. Copyright 2014. Thank you for listening.